This week, episode 2 of 2022, PDGA Radio welcomes a special guest into the studio. Also, we answer a listener question from Twitter, and as usual, we highlight the headlines from the PDGA. So what are we waiting for? Let's tune in. Writing.
Welcome, everybody. It's PDGA Radio. Myself, Jennifer Allen, back with Grant Zellner, and I'm super excited for our first guest, my previous teammate, Kona Panis.
Hi, guys. Woo! How's it going?
This is way, way, way cool. First of all, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Right? It's see you later, 2021, launching into a new year, and you're launching in like a, like, super spacey kind of way. You're going to the moon here. Can you tell us a little bit in your own words about how the last 10 days has been?
So it's kind of funny that you said like spaceship vibes, because someone actually commented on my post and was like, right when I announced, I was in the helicopter first before Ricky announced, and everyone was like, oh, Kona's coming in on a helicopter. Is Ricky going to come in on like a spaceship? So it's just, it's just funny that you said that. These last 10 days have been really eye-opening, and I felt a lot of love. I've also had some hate mail in a way, some people thinking I don't deserve it. And, you know, of course there's going to be those people in life and, you know, in everything that we do. But I'm super excited. And with Dynamic Discs, like, being as supportive as they have been, I'm not too worried about it, to be completely honest. And, you know, Eric McCabe and Jeremy Rusko have been super welcoming and just so excited to have me. So yeah, just super happy to be on Team Dynamic Discs and have been working really hard to get the game dialed with all these new molds.
I know your situation is totally different than so many others as well, switching companies. You know, that's pretty normal end of the year. But you left a company that your dad is a part of. You really were family. So I think that kind of twists another dynamic to it as well. And knowing that, you know, your dad and Innova as a family are so happy for you. There was no hate. So it's kind of sad to hear that others can hate on that when the company that you're leaving has full love and support of you. So that's kind of sad to hear.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, I think it's more so based towards my game. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people give me a hard time for my putt, which I'm working super hard on so I can just come out, you know, firing. but like you said, you know, I personally have nothing but love for Innova, and, you know, without them, I would have never made the move to California with my family, and I wouldn't have had the support to go on my first tour. So nothing but love and respect for Innova, and, you know, sad to leave them, but, you know, thinking towards the future and towards, you know, Colton and, you know, my future as well.
Absolutely.
Now we've got literally tens of thousands of new members in the PDGA. We've had players, we've heard stories of players that played disc golf years ago and during the pandemic came back to the sport, getting reacquainted with the sport, beginning to watch more of it on YouTube and Disc Golf Network and all of that. So my guess is there are a lot of people listening right now that don't really know who Kona Panis is. And so when you mentioned a minute ago, you're working on your game. Well, how would you describe your game to people that maybe don't know you? What is Kona Panis's way of getting around the course? And by the way, I promise I'll quit referring to you in the third person starting right now.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. So, you know, my game is really based off of my drive. I've always had a very strong backhand. I grew up in Colorado, so I was throwing at higher elevations, which I feel in return gave me the extra power that my drive has. And just because of elevation, your discs typically are more overstable, so they don't fly as far or get the glide that, like, in California you get, like, this is how discs are supposed to fly, you know. So growing up in Colorado and throwing like that really shaped my backhand. But over the course of a few years, I've really become both backhand and forehand. Paige Pierce actually called me a forehand dominant player, which I kind of looked at her and was like, what are you talking about? But she mostly looks at my upshots when she says that, because I'm a very forehand dominant player when it comes to approaches, because I can look straight at the basket. I don't have to turn my body to throw a backhand touch shot. I can really just trust the nice little chip forehand. But, you know, something I've been working on for the people who don't know me is my putt. I've, over the course of the last few years, I've really been trying to find a putt that I can just commit to fully and trust. I've gone through, I want to say, like 3 or 4 over the course of the last 2 years. And some people would say, oh, that's inconsistency. And I would agree to a point. But I also feel like if something's not working, you should change it. And, right. you know, don't stick with something that's not going to, you know, go in the basket. Figure something out that will get you on that podium.
And by 3 or 4, you mean 3 or 4 putting styles. You don't mean 3 or 4 putters, like discs. You mean 3 or 4, like, styles of getting the disc from you into that basket.
Yes, exactly. So I had the same putter. It was a Glow D-Blend Alpaca that Infinite Discs put out for me as a signature disc last year. So shout out to them. Also, you know, I had to leave them and going to Dynamic Discs as well. So, you know, left 2 great companies, but ended up with an amazing one. But I had the same consistent putter. It was just trying different ways to get the disc in the basket, which in return was actually awesome, because now I have this Anheuser putt for when I'm in that situation and I feel confident in it, where some people are so used to just the normal stagger stance down to the core, up and, you know, to the basket, to where they get put in that Anheuser situation and they're like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. So at least now I have that as like a utility.
I definitely 100%. I don't know if there's any more 2 people or females that kind of feel the same way, exactly how she's describing, because now I actually have 3 totally different styles that I do, and just randomly, you know, in between. And so it is, if you're not fully committed or feeling confident with one, how do you know that something's going to improve unless you change it? So we learn and we adapt, and I think in the end we'll have some amazing results.
Yeah, I agree.
Now you're building an entirely new bag. You just mentioned a putter that you're giving up because you're with a new company now, and that's not the only disc you're having to replace. You're building an entirely new bag. So I have 2 questions related to that. Question number 1 might be kind of a weird question. It's, do you feel like you have a shot now that you didn't have before, because you maybe have access to, I don't know, a mold that fits your hand in a different way, or something that flies in a different way? It's such a personal thing, whether a disc does a certain thing for you as opposed to what that same disc will do for another person. So that's one of my questions, is do you feel like you've got a shot now you didn't have before? And the second question is just, when it comes to the bag itself, how are you going about building the bag quickly so that you can practice with it as much as possible before your first tournament this year?
Yeah. So for your first question, I guess a disc that really sticks out in my mind is the Harp. I left the AVR X3, which was my go-to forehand approach disc from Innova, and the Harp is a really good replacement, although I have found it is a little bit faster and way more overstable, which is fine, but now I'm getting more comfortable throwing an Anheuser forehand approach to get distance out of it, which I'm coming to actually really enjoy seeing that full kind of flex shot with it. So that's one that I'm actually really loving, is the Harp. And then for the other question,
just like,
how I'm building my bag.
Yeah, building your bag from scratch. And are you the kind of person that's going to try to find one mold you like and then vary the plastics and the weights and things like that to get lots of flights? Or are you going to have, you know, 20 discs in your bag and there's going to be 15 different molds represented among 20 discs? Which way are you going?
So I have a lot of different molds in my bag at this current moment. And I think that's just how I'm going to start the season, because each disc is doing something different for me. I think as I start, you know, as I go into the season and start loving a specific mold, I'll probably start taking those out and either replace it with a different plastic that's maybe more overstable. But how I started building my bag was, I took all of the speeds and fades of my current bag when I was with Innova, and I literally just compared them to the Dynamic Discs, you know, lineup. So Colton and I remember we were, before I even got to the warehouse, before I even touched really a lot of Dynamic Discs, I like went on their website and I kind of just compared their speeds and fades and then kind of just made a list. And so when I did go to the Dynamic Discs warehouse, I sat there with Eric and we kind of just walked the warehouse, and I got to feel a lot of different molds that were similar in speed and fade to the last ones I had. Obviously, switching companies, I can't look for the same exact mold. I had to kind of change my mindset on that. I like can't go and find a Leopard 3, or, you know, I have to, you know, forget about all those and then find new molds that I like. So that's how I kind of started the bag. Now I'm still throwing the same kind of weight. I always throw like a 168 to 172 range for my drivers. And then mid ranges, I'm always max weight, and putters always max weight just for the consistent flight. But yeah, that's how I started building my bag. And now it's just falling in love with plastics and different flights.
Interesting. Now, Jennifer, in your bag, are you a carry lots of molds, or are you a carry just a few molds, but within each mold, like vary, you know, vary things about them, their wear in and all of that to get different flights? Which way do you go on that?
I think we discovered this year at Masters Worlds that the old school way is like we have just a certain number of molds that we throw a lot of. Like I, at a point, had like six destroyers in my bag. Some are newer, some maybe six, 7 years old. So I definitely have fewer disc choices, but a lot of those molds.
Still, the variety is always going to be there. You just go about it a different way.
Right, right.
That's really, really, really interesting. Now, Kona, one of the interesting things, and I don't know the details about this, so you might clarify this, but I know that with Dynamic, you're going to have some cool other responsibilities, some things that you're doing, for lack of a better term, in the office, right? That might have to do with media or something like that. Can you talk about some of those other aspects of the job that you're getting ready to launch into that maybe you haven't been doing before?
Yeah, so it's nothing that I haven't been doing before. You know, they're not expecting, but they would like if I did a lot more media. I'm hoping to do more stuff on YouTube. That's a bigger platform other than Instagram that gets more views. And also with monetization, we've seen with like Simon Lizotte, he can make a pretty penny off of views off of YouTube. So I'm always thinking about passive income, things that I can make money off of without, you know, really trying. So definitely going to put out some more YouTube content. I actually put out a video last night of my behind the scenes with Dynamic Discs. It's from the last three trips, including my announcement day with Ricky and getting on the helicopter. So some really cool behind the scenes stuff in that video that I just posted to my YouTube. But lots more YouTube stuff. And some other requirements that they're asking for is a few more signing sessions. So whether that's at the Dynamic Discs headquarters where I do that, or if like let's say I'm across the country and I show up to the Dynamic Discs in like Carlton or something, like I go and I do a signing session. So a lot more of that. But you know what, that's not just helping them, that's helping me grow my brand, and it's also supporting me as well. But Colton and I are hoping to bring back our hot cocoa combos. So they're these events that we used to run our first season on the road, where we would have a bunch of people come out. They'd pay like, you know, $15. They'd get two discs, and they'd play around, and we'd walk around and play a hole with them, or stuff like that. And then they'd get a trophy at the end. So we're hoping to bring that back and maybe add a clinic beforehand to help not only you know, meet people outside of just playing the casual round together, but, you know, share some insight into our games as well.
That sounds like a lot of fun. That actually answers another question I had for you, which was, you know, Grow the Sport initiatives, Women in Disc Golf initiatives. You're going to be a touring pro. You're going to make some more multimedia content. But then there's that kind of third category where, you know, you're going back and forth across this country, and even internationally, perhaps, hopefully, we'll see if that goes this year. You've got other things that you have access to doing. This, that sounds like a perfect example of kind of an initiative to grow the sport, maybe get juniors, like I said, more women out there. Do you have other plans on deck for that kind of initiative?
Yeah, so a big part of me partnering with Dynamic Discs was I wanted to, in this next, I want to say 2023, I want to do this initiative where I have this thing called Kona Crushers is the thing that we're hoping to call it. It's this where people, young juniors, it's really based on the younger generation, to get them out, and it's events across the country where they can compete. And if they place well, I'm hoping, this is like a super general idea, hoping that they all can come to like Emporia and compete. And if they win, they either get like a sponsorship with like me and Dynamic Discs. It's another way that we hope to grow the sport. And obviously this is like a super grassroots thing. Like, we don't know all the logistics of it quite yet, but it's something that I wanted to put in my contract that, you know, hopefully in the future that we can put out this either Kona Crushers or this cool little thing to help get juniors involved in our sport and hopefully get a sponsorship with Dynamic Discs or with the Kona brand, you know, so something cool like that in the future.
That's awesome.
Put me down for a t-shirt when that happens. All right. I'm a medium husky. I'm not really. Well, let's steer it back real quick before we do a little fun lightning round with you. Let's steer it back just a little bit toward this upcoming season, the specifics of the 2022 calendar year. I'd love to hear about, you know, what your first event is going to be. Will you play a warm-up event or two before the DGPT season kicks off? You know, which events maybe are you most looking forward to right now? That's not to discount the other ones. I'm just saying, you know, which venues maybe are you always going, I love that course, or I love going to wherever, Oregon or Vermont or whatever. Like, tell us a little bit about what you're looking at for the 2022 season.
Yes. So to start the 22 season, we're going to be in Arizona. We don't know the course quite yet. The DGPT is still working on that for the All-Star Weekend, which mm-hmm. I will be the returning champ for.
Yes,
I haven't
you will.
Been returning. Yeah, I haven't been a returning champ before at this high of a caliber, I guess. Although the All-Star Weekend is kind of something fun. It's not really like a super prestigious event. It's something just to get the year started, help get the camera crews, rest kind of kicked off and ready for the season as well. So going to start off there in Arizona. We'll be heading to the Disc Golf Con. Colton and I are both going to be a part of that and super excited to be a part of that because I'm going to meet a whole lot of people. I'm going to have some customs there to sell that haven't been released quite yet. And then, you know, get to do a lot of clinics and other fun events that the Infinite Discs people are putting on for us. So mm-hmm. huge opportunity, something different that we've never done before. So very excited for that. And then LVC kicks off and that's when it's like, let's get going, get the mind right and get the competitive mindset, you know, ready for the season. Really excited for LVC. That's really a course that, I feel like I play well at. And I think Jen can say the same because it's just a yep. bomber course. You know, we love throwing those, huge drives and, I really enjoyed those courses as well. And just it's fun starting off in Las Vegas. So going to start there. Courses and places I'm so excited to get to. Obviously, Waco is one that sticks out in my mind just because I'll be a returning champ there as well. And mm-hmm. that is definitely going to be more nerve wracking because it's our Elite Series event. And Waco obviously has a special place in my heart, not only for myself, but Colton was a champ in 2020 before the pandemic hit. So Hot Cocoa right. loves Waco.
That's right.
But one of the other ones that I'm just itching to go to is the European Open. I've been wanting to go for the last 2 years. They've been canceled both times. Colton got to go in, I believe, 2019 without me. And so I've been just itching to go. And I have so many fans and friends in Finland and Estonia and Norway that I, like, want to get out there and, like, see what they get to compete with. And so hopefully we get to go to the Beast and really looking forward to that one.
Sure.
I'm super excited as well for all of those. I'll get to see a Kona right out the gate, like in a few weeks. So, but LVC is awesome. Having three great courses right on the same property, it's just a different atmosphere because we're just all there the whole time. So LVC is such a great event to start the year out. And I'm excited to see Kona maybe across the country a little more than usual. And hopefully we all do get, I know, Evelina and Henna and all of those golfers across the way are so excited to come back. So hopefully that works both ways, that they're going to be able to come back over here. We're excited to welcome them back and play with them again. And then for all of us who were really just kind of starting to expand where we play, it was like right when it shut down. There's just a small group that really traveled and played other countries. And so hopefully we'll get to be able to go. I was so excited for Japan. Like that was, I don't know why, that was one that I was dying to go to. And I don't even think there's talks of that next year at all. So that may be a few more years, but getting back over to Australia is definitely something I hope to do.
Europe. So hopefully we're on the downside of being locked in the US and we'll be able to get out and play everywhere again.
All right, guys. Well, here's what I've got. I've got a lightning round of questions. I'm calling it quick cues. And this week, at least, Jennifer, I'm going to have you participate as well. Because everybody is still getting to know. I mean, this is just week two of their 2022 relaunch of PDGA Radio. So I'm going to go ahead and have you jump in with your answers to these questions as well. They're just quick hitting questions. They're going to be a lot of fun and they're going to help everybody get to know both Jen and our guest Kona Panis. So question number one, what do you think you would do for a living if you weren't a professional disc golfer? Kona, take it first.
Maybe two things. I'd either be involved in like veterinary or something because I love pets and I love animals, something like that. Maybe work at a zoo or something, a sanctuary. Or I would do something with art. I love art and I know a lot of people say that like you can't make a living off of art, but, you know, I'd find a way because I really do enjoy it.
I would probably work in healthcare.
Wait a second. You already do. But here's the question. Would you do something else in healthcare?
No, I love the physical therapy aspect of it. I've always joked that we choose physical therapy so we don't have to do those not so fun nursing jobs. So I love this bringing in the sports to physical therapy as well as still taking care of people and getting them back to where they want to be in life. So healthcare, definitely all the way.
Okay, question number two, what do you play when you're not playing disc golf? What other sports or pursuits do you go after when you're not practicing or running yourself around to different tournaments?
I don't know if it would be considered a sport, but we love hiking. We love going on like runs. Colton really got into running this past year, but like sports? I feel like
it doesn't
a lot of
have
people...
to be sports. It could be another hobby. Okay. That's okay.
We want to get into pickleball because the tour, a lot of people on tour play the crap out of pickleball. So maybe we'll get into pickleball because everyone is playing it.
So my kids developed cone ball. It's going to be the newest thing. They just made it up in the driveway, but we've been playing cone ball about every day and they have combined tennis and volleyball. And I don't know, we just have a couple of cones there that it turned into like, if you hit the cone over, it's an extra point, but that's what we've been playing. So, I mean, but we play everything. We play can jam, anything that we can still throw a frisbee. We love going to the beach and playing catch on the beach. My boys kind of quit playing baseball with, the pandemic, but, I loved watching them play baseball, but other than that, anything that we can throw, we're going to be playing.
I could see a future like name and likeness deal happening here where cone ball becomes Kona ball.
Oh, there we go. There
and
we go. We got this.
She's the one on the packaging, like the Wheaties box, you know,
like the Wheaties box.
You know, with the little word balloon that says play Kona ball. And
oh
right.
Gosh.
No.
Yeah, hey, maybe
if you guys go with it, I get some kind of a discovery fee. I'm just saying. Kona, do you have a secret or maybe even not so secret talent other than throwing plastic spheres an insanely long distance? Actually, they're not spheres, are they? They're plastic discs.
I call them plastic circles.
And yeah, plastic circles. I like that.
People in high school used to give me a hard time and say that I was stupid for throwing plastic circles. So
in their face.
A post and said,
look
check
at them
me.
Now.
So,
yeah,
look at me now. A talent, I mean, I guess, like I said, something I really enjoy. Like, I love drawing on the back of discs. And actually, what's really cool, and, you know, shout out to anyone who's bought one, I get to draw on the back of people's discs, and they actually buy them. which has been so cool that like people enjoy, you know, not only I enjoy my art, but like people enjoy my art as well. And to put them on the back of a disc is even, you know, best of both worlds. So I guess you could say that's a talent because I enjoy doing it and I do it often. So
Kona's a disc artist.
Yeah, she is.
Kind of like at Subway, they call themselves sandwich artists. Yeah. Kona's a disc artist. Jennifer, your secret talent.
I don't think I have anything else. I don't know.
Come on, what can you bench, Jen?
I know. I was going to say. Being mom, my secret talent's being mom. Just going going nonstop is a secret talent of mine. You sleep a little bit, but we pretty much just, I don't slow down. So that's my secret superhero power.
Yeah, and you love your baby.
Yes, I do.
Kona, I'll give you three instead of one favorite movies.
Ooh.
I won't make that's you narrow hard. It down to one. I'll let you pick three. Three favorite movies.
Even that's hard. We're a movie family. I feel like we've always watched movies. Like that was something that we always did to like, you know, sit down and be together other than, you know, get out and play disc golf was we sit down and watch movies. So I'm going to say Armageddon, Across the Universe is a really cool movie. It's a musical that is all Beatles music. So really fell in love with that one.
Interesting.
And another movie. I really enjoyed the new Spider-Man. Oh my gosh. So sick.
Nice.
So good.
All right. All right, Jen, your turn.
The first one that pops into my head is Wonder Woman. And my daughter gives me a hard time because I say that's a chick flick. And so my description of chick flick is a little different. Anything that women are really strong at to me is a chick flick.
I like that.
I'm going to go with Wonder Woman. Yeah.
All right.
Oh, she narrowed it down to one.
She did. That's fantastic. Well, this might be even trickier. Kona, in years when someone makes a movie, the Kona Panis story, who's going to play you?
I'm going to be like Paige Pierce. I'm going to play me. She's coming out with her documentary. She's coming out with her documentary here, I want to say, in the next few months. And she actually shared the first little clip with me, and it's looking amazing. So, you know, shout out to Wilson. He was her main producer on her film, and I just can't wait to see it. It's going to be amazing. It has a really cool storyline and also some heartbreak in it, and I can't wait to see it. Our first, you know, real disc golf documentary, and it features one of our, you know, highest rated women. So really cool.
It's going to be fun. Jennifer, who's going to play you in the Hollywood blockbuster Jennifer Allen Wonder Woman?
Come on, Wonder Woman. What's her name?
Gail Gadot, what's that?
I'm so bad with the names of people. Yeah. Can I just go with Jennifer Aniston because she's beautiful and older?
That is Colton's woman. That is his celebrity crush.
There you go.
She's incredible.
Well, maybe Jennifer Aniston needs to play you as well, because if the movie's about you, you guys are going to be on set the whole time.
Your hair color is closer, too. The hair color, for sure.
She's blonde.
All right. Here's how we'll land the plane, or in this case, the helicopter. Let's think. We were talking earlier about how you're thinking about the year, you're thinking about all the travels you're going to be doing. So right now I want you to think off the course. So don't think about the courses that you love the most. Think about the other things. Think about the different areas of the country, maybe the food, maybe the nature aspects of that area. Maybe there are entertainment options in that particular region or town or whatever. Maybe there's a history element. What are your favorite couple of stops on the disc golf pro tour?
So last year we got to go to the Grand Canyon for the first time. That was really cool. It was cold, but it was very quiet. It was almost spooky at night, and you could see every star in the sky. So that was one that we got to check off. I would love to go to some more state parks. Colton hasn't been to Yosemite, and I have been, and it's insane. And someone at my hairstylist who cut my hair actually told me that we need to go to Yellowstone. So that might be one that maybe we go off the beaten path to see. We love Texas. Of course, we love Waco, but we love their barbecue. Colton is huge into barbecue. And one of our favorite places, people are going to give us a hard time, we love Rudy's. It's kind of like a chain of restaurants, but it's we've so got those good.
Restaurants that sell gasoline. That's interesting.
It was actually the place I went to after I won Waco. So we love Rudy's. Probably I would love to go back to Maine just because it's honestly so beautiful. And other than that, probably Vermont. We love Vermont. We love their syrup, their maple syrup. And Colton always likes their maple. They always have maple Oreos at that time. So he always buys like 4 packs worth because he just loves them so much. So definitely those places we're really looking forward to. And honestly, I can't wait to get to Europe and experience all that they have to offer as well.
And you haven't been to Europe yet, correct? Because that was my follow-up question is where have you not been that you want to go?
So. No, I haven't been to Europe. And like Jen said, I would love to go to Japan Open. I have heard whispers about 2023. I have. Obviously, people don't, you know, hold me to it. But that has been spoken about. I would love to go to Norway for the Sula Open. That might be something that we hit. I believe it's either before or after European Open. So we might make a little small tour and go to those two. Although the Europe just came out with their own little tour around that time. And as much as I would love to go and do that, I don't know if I'll be able to, but I will be going to Sweden in 2023 for some super special secretive stuff.
Super special secretive stuff.
Heard it here first.
Heard it here first. Yeah. We break news at PDJ Radio. That is what we do. Well, Kono, we want to be respectful of your time. You've got so much going on and so much still to do in just the next, 6 weeks or so before, maybe not even that now.
Less than
4 weeks?
Yeah.
You've got so much to do, but we're very, very excited for you. We're going to be sitting here with a front row seat. Just watching how the season unfolds. And so thanks so much.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
I just want to say thank you as well as a fellow female competitor, Kona, for raising that bar and just pushing us all to thrive for more. So thank you. And I'm super excited. And I always love you no matter what team you're on.
Thanks, Jen.
Listening right now and you haven't followed PDGA Radio on Twitter, you definitely need to do that. That's me and Jen interacting directly with you. So it's a separate account to the regular PDGA account. You'll want to follow that because when you do, you have opportunities to participate in the show using the hashtag #AskPDGAradio. You can ask a question anytime you want. We might talk about your question on the next episode. The question at Disc Golf Hunter asks is, do you think women's disc golf is the fastest growing segment of the sport? And where do you see the pro ladies in the next 5 to 10 years? Jennifer, what do you think?
Well, we definitely are seeing our numbers spike. I mean, they are having to open a lot more spots. We had over 60 women at Pro Worlds this year, which is by far the greatest numbers that we've had. I think, unfortunately, we're limited and maybe we would have seen more, but the spots are limited for the women at these events. And so I'm curious if the numbers would be even higher than what we're seeing. The numbers are definitely growing and that's awesome. And I'm excited to see what they're going to be able to do to continue to let us grow instead of feeling a little capped off.
So you see over the course of maybe not even 5 years, maybe this year, maybe next year, you see more actual slots opening up to where the women's field, it might take a few more years to get to where it's a full field the way maybe the men's field is, but you see it going from maybe 36 to 48 to 64 or something like that. But the slots need to open first is what you're saying.
Definitely the spots need to open. I don't know how many friends on social media that I see are like going to tour full time. And even myself getting out there kind of not the first time, but more, I'm nervous. Are there going to be enough spots for us? Like if I make a tour schedule, is it even going to happen? Because we're all going to be battling for just those few spots available. So I definitely think more spots need to open. But I feel that there's going to be a year or two of weirdness that we won't be able to fill a full tournament professionally at all the big events. That'd be really cool in a few years for us to coincide like a full field of women, a full field of men at the same tournament. I don't think we're quite there yet in their numbers, but we are definitely headed there.
Right. Yeah. I think we'll get back to the first part of the question in a minute, but to stay on this topic of where the pro game is going in particular for the women, I think we can see some clues from the way some other sports developed. Of course, most of that happened in the last century, but we can look at things like traditional golf and we can see how different eras sort of progressed and how back in the 1920s, you started for the first time having like truly professional celebrity golfers that were well known sometimes globally. And then by the 40s and 50s, you had a number of touring professionals, but they had to be kind of journeyman athletes in order to make a living. They had to really hoof it, you know, from week to week to week to week. And they didn't necessarily make really lavish livings, but they made enough to do what they loved. And then you got into the era with the Jack Nicklauses and the, you know, other, you know, famous Arnold Palmer and some people that even non-golfers had heard of because, you know, people that weren't fans of golf still had heard of guys like Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer because their fame elevated the sport even more. And by that time, they really were making super comfortable livings and having personal brands and things. And then you hit, of course, the Tiger Woods era. And during all that time, you had the women's game sort of trailing, but catching up slowly. You had in the 50s, you had Babe Zaharias, one of the first truly famous women golfers. But it took till the 50s for that to happen for the women. And then by the 80s and 90s, you started having a few more women golfers that were well known. And then by the time Tiger Woods came around, you actually had the Michelle Wees, you know, of the world. And you had Paula Creamer and you had Natalie Gulbis and you had these female golfers that were becoming more and more on par, at least in terms of being known. So it's like the gap probably still, you could easily argue, hasn't closed all the way, but it closed over time to where it was a lot closer. And I kind of feel like that's what disc golf is looking at. I think you've got a men's game that is beginning to boom, and you've got a women's game that I think is sort of beginning to close that gap a little bit. And I think we're going to see more of that in the next 5 to 10 years. And I think our guest earlier, Kona, is evidence of that. More and more female golfers making solid livings doing what they love.
Absolutely, 100%. We're getting there. And we'll just hopefully quicker than we expect. I mean, that's what the sport needs to grow as a whole. Another, but kind of back to his question, what's growing the most? I don't remember exactly how the question was pointed.
The fastest growing segment.
Fastest growing segment. Look at the children. Look at the juniors. And I think as a whole, maybe because they're female and male, I see more kids on the golf course than I ever have.
And
maybe because I spot that, I love getting into the schools. I've taught, I think, like 12 classes, PE classes already this year. So I look for the kids out there, and the kids that I teach now, when I go in, one of the first questions I ask is, have you ever heard of disc golf? That used to be a silent no. Now these kids have played, they know the game, they've already played it with their families. So I think something else, along with the women's sport growing, we're going to see more and more juniors out there, more and more kids, and they're picking up the game so fast. So I think they're going to elevate in their skills so quickly that very rapidly we're going to need a lot more junior events.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. And I think something's interesting. When I was in college and played in little one day mini tournaments and things like that, I would go to some tournaments. There wouldn't be a single woman competing that weekend, not one. Now the last, I want to say, 3 separate times I've gone to play in a quick little single rounder, like on a, you know, an evening in the late fall or something like that. Not only have there been a lot of women participating, I've been paired the last two or three times, because you're not necessarily paired with people in the same division that you're competing in. You're just paired with whoever showed up when you showed up. I've been paired with a number of women disc golfers here at my local courses. That wasn't happening when I first picked up right. the game. And now it's happened three times in a row. So I think that alone is signs that that alone is a sign that the amateur game is beginning to shift. And so you can expect, I think, the pro game to follow a little bit further down the road, right?
Oh, absolutely. I agree completely. It's so hard. I guess my local course that I play probably the most right now is Vista Del Camino. And mm-hmm. it's hard to play sometimes. And there's so many baskets at Vista. And so it's very confusing when a lot of these first timers are out there, because it's really hard to follow the course if you don't know where you're going. And I would have to say almost every time I'm out there, I run into someone that says, sorry, it's my first time here. Like, it's just, it is becoming the normal that these players are getting out there to learn the sport. So within a year or two, this is going to be a big sport for sure.
Yeah. I'm going to choose to look at everything really, really optimistically, especially with the growth of the women's game. I think there's no reason not to be optimistic about the shift that's already happening, and the fact it's just going to gain momentum over the next 5 to 10 years, just like at Disc Golf Hunter mentioned. So thanks for the question at Disc Golf Hunter. Really appreciate it. Remember, you can ask us questions directly. Use the Ask PDGA Radio hashtag. All right, your news update for the week of January 10th at the PDGA. First of all, the World Games Athlete of the Year is being voted on right now. Now, if you've never heard of the World Games Athlete of the Year, it's something that's put on by the International World Games Association. These are people that are directly connected to the International Olympic Committee. That's why this is such a big deal. This is how sports go from being a niche sport to a more publicly known sport, and maybe even someday to an Olympic sport. They vote on an annual athlete every single year. This year, they have selected Paige Pierce as the representative for flying disc sports. So here's what you need to do. You need to show the World Games Association, you need to show them that disc golf has the kind of backing it takes to be included in the upcoming World Games. They happen, you know, kind of like the Olympics, right? There's upcoming World Games in 2025, for example, that are going to be here in the U.S. So you got to get on board with this. So here's what you do. You head to the PDGA's social channels. A vote for Paige is a vote for disc golf. So head to the social channels. You see the link. You can vote once a day, and you have only this week in order to vote for disc golf and vote for Paige Pierce as the World Games Athlete of the Year.
Can I just say that gave me goosebumps just to even hear at that level? I've known Paige since, can I say, she was a little girl? Because like our other segment, you know, there was very few women when we started. Mm-hmm. So I literally would have to go to Texas just to find other women to play with. And Paige, of course, was my huge competitor that I used to compete against. So I've watched her grow up. I've watched her game and what she's done to our sport just get to the highest level, and to hear it at that level, it's the most incredible feeling. So I'm super excited.
I might have misspoke a minute ago. The upcoming World Games are in the U.S. The 2025 World Games are in Asia. So talk about international exposure. It's voting for stuff like this right now in early 2022 that can have a profound impact 2, 3, 4 years down the line. So make sure you vote. Like I said, PDGA, social channels, Facebook, Instagram, etc. Go there. You'll see the link you need to go and vote for the World Games Athlete of the Year. Like I said, a vote for Paige is a vote for disc golf.
That's so awesome.
Another headline for you this week. There are multiple open positions with the PDGA, but the application window closes at the end of this week. The PDGA is looking for an operations and logistics coordinator. The PDGA is looking for a membership program manager. The PDGA is looking for a graphic designer. You can find all the details about the specific job postings at PDGA.com. And finally, this is really cool, Jen. This makes me feel a little bit big time. I'm not gonna lie to you. PDGA Radio, as of literally about 24 hours ago, now available on Google Podcasts.
I've always said I'm Googleable. That's my word. When kids ask me,
you're Google
or Googleable. It's a word. I've made it up, but it's going to be a big thing. Now I can say we're definitely Googleable.
We're Googleable. So obviously, if you're listening right now, you're listening on Apple Podcasts. You might be listening on Spotify. You might be downloading directly from Spreaker or just joining us at PDGA.com, where you can always download the MP3. But now one more option, especially for you Android users, Google Podcasts is officially housing PDGA Radio.
And with that, that's a wrap for episode 2 in 2022
of PDGA Radio. Make sure you follow us online on Twitter at PDGA Radio. See ya.
Bye.